Katrina Dido is the soul, spirit, and food designer behind Harrisonburg's Bowl of Good Restaurants. She just opened her second location. Katrina dishes out locally sourced, healthy food that, she says, grew out of her travels, but began in her childhood home.
We had a big dining room table. Actually, I have it in my dining room now. And they had an old farmhouse, and it just became the place that people would come. Neighbors would just stop in for coffee. I would always be amazed when, after I moved away and came back, I'm like, how is it like 15 different people can stop in for a cup of coffee in a day at my parents' house? But at a pretty young age, my mom, if she needed to go away for the weekend or something, I'd stay. And when I was 11, they started taking in boarders because all my older siblings were gone by then. And so, you know, at 13 years old, I'd be home for a weekend taking care of these four boarders. My mom and dad would be, I don't know where they'd be, off somewhere. And I was cooking for all these people. And okay. But it was good practice because I'm not intimidated by cooking for crowds. That's one of the joys of what I'm doing now, is I think I'm the folks that work for us. I think they're going to go into their own households unintimidated by cooking for large crowds. And that's a real value in a culture that's losing its ability to be hospitable.
I was going to ask you about that, because for some people, cooking is work, and cooking is work. Mm-hmm. I don't mean to say that. But for you, it's a giving activity. It's a what? How would you describe hospitality? You know, what you're doing with food?
You know, I lived in Haiti for a year after college, and they have all these wonderful proverbs, and one of them is mange cuit, pague met. And it basically means if this food's ready, there's no master, there's no owner to that food. So sort of whoever is there eats. And if it means that everybody gets a quarter cup of rice and beans, and so be it. But at least everyone ate. And I think there is an element when I meet somebody who is, you know, I meet them at 5:30 and they don't have anywhere to go for supper, and I say, well, come on over. That's, I think, what we need to be doing, recognizing people that are longing for a home or longing for a place. So incidentally, holiday dinners usually consist of more than just family at our house. There's usually a few other folks who are extended family in some way that get invited in because they don't really have anywhere else to go at the time or whatever. So I feel like, yeah, it's a time when cooking should be invitational. Not always, but a lot of the time. People need to feel in family.
And food's an integral part of that.
Yeah. Food is so base. I mean, we all need it. So we all share that. Food also doesn't need to be complicated. And I think we differentiate between hospitality and entertaining. I mean, there are times where you want to invite the three people and you want to have everything just so, and you want to make it beautiful. And then there are just times where
I vaguely remember doing that.
Yeah, we don't do that. I mean, it's a lot of energy that goes into that. And at this stage of life, I don't do very much of that at all, but do more of the just, hey, come on over. There'll be plenty of food. Yeah.
Katrina Dido says the richness of her food career was built in Haiti.
I loved sitting around with the women in Haiti. They were just wonderful. And I loved Haitian food. It's really, really good. And I think I got pretty good at making it. And so that was...
Now, describe Haitian food for somebody who's never eaten it.
Rice and beans, a lot of fried plantains, salads like cabbage slaws are hot and spicy. Yeah, primarily the rice and beans. And I lived in toward the south of Haiti where they use coconut milk in everything. And so it was just wonderful. And then goat meat, different kind of meats, fried.
But pretty basic.
Pretty basic. Oh, yeah. Basic food, but delicious. Really delicious. And that's where I met my husband, and he was walking by my house, and I had just made rice and beans with a dried fish, a sauce made out of dried fish. And he came in, and I gave him a big bowl, and I think I won his heart that way.
Got my red.
Back after a break for more conversation with Bowl of Goods' Katrina Dido.
Pass the peas like you can send them then. Katrina Dido is the person behind the culturally rich and healthy food offered at her two Bowl of Good locations in Harrisonburg. So where did both the food and the philosophy of Bowl of Good come from? Back before the break, we heard about Katrina Dido's informative experiences in Haiti. After Haiti, Katrina worked her way through social work graduate school, mostly by waitressing at what she says was a really nice French restaurant in Bethesda.
I have lots of memories of that and lots of learning. I learned a lot about food. We did our own bartending for the tables that we were, and so I learned a lot about good drink as well, and wines,
You learned the business. You started to learn
yes.
the food business.
Yeah. And I had waitressed a little bit in high school and actually in college, too, in Ocean City, New Jersey, I'd waitressed. And I realize now all the places I've worked were owner-operated. And so that was an interesting thing as I've been into restaurant work now and now have kind of moved a little bit out of that into more of I have a manager that manages the business and that was something I had to learn how to do because I've always watched an owner be very integrally involved in the restaurant itself.
So how'd you come here to Harrisonburg?
Well, after D.C., my husband and I went to Guatemala where I did learn kind of a whole new set of food, primarily black beans. That was which you'll find number 2 Bowl of the Milpa on the Bowl of Good menu. But yeah, so we were there for 8 years. We adopted our 2 children during that time and really just started feeling a need, even though we were very established in what we were doing. We were making videos that were putting information into people's languages. There's lots of language groups in Guatemala. But we were feeling this strong need to maybe be back in the U.S. for a while so that our children would share our culture. Mm-hmm. So the U.S. wasn't always mom and dad's culture, and we are a Guatemalan. And so we felt this need to sort of have a common culture as a family.
The nomadic Didos eventually settled in Harrisonburg. Oh, and one note of explanation, the Blue Nile mentioned in the following excerpt of our conversation is another Harrisonburg restaurant, and Red Front is a locally owned grocery store.
I'm a social worker, so when we first came, I did social work. My kids were young, and so I was kind of tag-teaming with my husband. He'd come home, and then I'd go to work and that kind of thing. And after about a year of that, felt a little bit burned out by trying to be mom and trying to be social worker
yes.
and all that. And right about that time, my brother told me about an opportunity to open a little cafe inside of a health food store. And so I was very thankful for the folks who gave me that opportunity.
And it was a grand success.
It was
when I met
yeah,
you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You were one
wonderful.
Of our first customers.
It was wonderful.
I think saw that as more temporary. I mean, we started a Bowl of Good so we could, ran it as a separate business and everything, but I didn't see that as, okay, I found my life work at all. I mean, I think we sort of happened into what we're doing now. As a matter of fact, during that time, as we were kind of closing down that particular time inside mm-hmm. that cafe, I remember sitting and having lunch with you and saying, Martha, what do I do? My kids are young. Do I really want to do cafe restaurant work when my kids are young? Because I think you had that.
Yes,
that's kind of what you did as well. And so there were all along the way these choices about, do I really want to do this? And here I am.
Let's take a minute and talk about the name of, that's always been the name of your business, A mm-hmm. Bowl of Good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I have to give my husband credit for that one. And I have to give him credit for a lot, actually. Our look, our feel, a lot of things about A Bowl of Good I give him credit for. But he used to say, you should just start a vending truck at some point and go around the cities and just sell bowls of good because that's how we ate kind of. We'd put a carb down and a stew and fresh toppings, whatever. And that's really, really the menu items on our menu are pretty much just our family favorites.
Grew out of your kitchen.
Yeah, grew out of our kitchen. Things that people would like when we opened our table, people would be, oh, this is great. So that's kind of where the name came from. So when we started at Kate's, we basically named it and liked it. And I didn't even think about it really at the time, but just over the years, the definition of good. I mean, there's so many facets. It's good food. It tastes good. But the goodness factor of, just where we get things and the good that it does in the community. And there's just a lot of different layers to the name.
Well, you took a couple of years, as I remember it, to decide to open Bowl of Good on Mount Clinton mm-hmm. Pike. What was going on during those couple of years besides your children were getting older?
My children were getting older, and they were watching me get up very early on Friday mornings and bake all day long because we started doing farmers markets. And so we would bake like crazy every Friday and every Monday because we were doing Tuesday markets too. So did years of farmers markets. During that time, just made some great community connections.
With people, with organizations.
I had to have a commercial kitchen to make the soups. I couldn't make the soups in my home. Mm-hmm. I could do the breads, but not the soups. So I would rent like the Blue Nile when they were north of town. I'd rent their kitchen on their days off. And then I grew out of that kitchen and started renting the kitchen from Early Catering Company, just like a day a week. I'd make massive amounts of soup and then package them up, take them to Red Front, where Red Front let us use a little back corner of their walk-in freezer. And so, you know, all these folks have just helped us along the way. It's has not at all been just us or just me. You know, it's been a lot of people helping. And the farmers market was just a wonderful place to then, you know, nurture more of that, because a lot of the folks that we buy from now are folks that we knew from the farmers market. And I just remember being there and feeling the sense of, I just feel like I'm part of this little club of people who nobody in the world works harder than we do. Because really, I mean, the folks that sell at the market work really hard. And and that was a time of life. You know, I think we did it 6 years, and we still go back occasionally and sell. And but just a really gritty, hardworking time, but a great time, a really good time.
You look back at it pleasantly?
Pleasantly, yeah. Yeah, and my kids would often want to go with me. They didn't necessarily want to be that helpful sometimes. But they like to go along and just run around with the other kids. And I said, I have my little market rats, and I love it. You know, it's great. And just neat things that have happened out of that. My daughter is very artistic, and that you can see the fingerprints all over her art of Ashley Sutt, who sells in the farmer's market. And Ashley makes beautiful cards and things like that. And Eva would sit with her for hours, and just Ashley would let her use her markers and draw alongside of her. And now Eva's work does beautiful work. And she was very, very influenced by Ashley. So I'm just like, what a neat thing to come out of that time.
During this hardworking time at the farmers market, Katrina and her former partner, Rachel Rose, began having conversations with Gift and Thrift Shops Incorporated about opening a cafe in their newly expanded space. Feeling the pull of shared values with the gift and thrifters, Katrina decided to do it.
We are family.
It didn't just happen. You didn't just wave a magic wand and there was this cheerful, bright space.
No.
Talk me through the design decisions, the menu decisions that went into that opening.
Well, even before the opening and all those decisions were the decisions of if we were going to do it.
Do it.
You know, and for me, it was like, oh, I don't, you know, opening a business means borrowing money and those kind of things. And I'm like, oh, I just don't know if I want to do that. And also opening a cafe restaurant type business means it's a lot of hard work, and it's very labor intensive, and I didn't know if I was ready for that. And so I was grateful to have Rachel on board to help with that and to have energy around that piece. And Gift and Thrift, we had a lot of great discussions with them about my concerns, about the risk that I would be taking, that kind of thing. And so they really did everything they could to help us to be able to do that. So we worked together well. There was a good partnership there. And then we were able to be part of the design, and so worked with Randy Seitz, who was a great architect, Blue Ridge Architects. And that was fun to be able to think through, what do we want the space to do, feel like, that kind of thing.
What did you want it to do and feel like?
Well, I think we wanted people to come in to be able to get their food quickly. We definitely wanted people to come in and sit down, but we also wanted people to be able to come in and grab a meal and go home. I mean, it's important for us. We do live in a world of fast food, but we do think that it's important to us that people go home and eat around their own dining room table. And if that means the only way that'll happen is if I grab a loaf of bread and a quart of soup, then great, then do that, you know. And so we wanted that to be easy, but we also wanted people to come and sit and meet one another. At some point, I'll tell you about our five principles, but one of them is that we want to be a third place provider. And I think third place, that's a term we hear more now. But basically, people have home and they have work, but most people have a third place, whether it's church or a civic organization. Yet that's changing in our culture. And a lot of people don't have a third place. So we want to be a place that people can come and meet and feel at home. I think we've achieved that. Yeah, we've certainly achieved it at Mount Clinton, and we are working. It's developing on our new location on Port Road.
How did you set the menu, and how has it changed? What kind of food did you want to be using and serving?
I wanted to be using as many local ingredients as we can. We try to do that, as many basic ingredients. For me, I mean, I think some cooks want to do something very gourmet and you're just filled with wonder of how it was made. And that's cool too. But there's also, I think, I'm happy if people come in and say, rice and beans and salsa, sour cream, I could do that at home. And then I say, well, you certainly could and you should. And here you go. There's a really simple meal you can make. So it's sort of giving people ideas, like food doesn't have to be super complicated. It can be delicious without being gourmet and complicated and super time consuming. And so part of me wanted that too, for people to see basic food served well. I wanted food that was inspired by different regions of the world so that people could come in and be like, I'm a little afraid of Indian food, but I'll try the Maharaja bowl. And while it may not be 100% authentic to what you might find in India, it's inspired by the flavors of that region of the world. And so people get a feel for it. So it's kind of exposing people without them having to make a huge commitment.
Has the menu changed since you've been open? Has it been tweaked?
It has. Now, since when we opened the second location at Port Road, we expanded the menu. Mm-hmm. But prior to that, it was a pretty similar menu. It has not changed a lot. And one of the reasons I think we thought it would change more, but everything on the menu worked and people liked it.
To move to the future, the crystal ball. You just opened a second location. Mm-hmm. Is that the end of where you're going, or is that the beginning of where you're going with this business?
I don't know. I mean, I certainly do have a vision of where I think we're going. I think right now, probably more production space is what we really need. I dream of having a production space where we can do a lot more local produce, where we would have space and the ability to process when we have things in season, which we do a fair amount of now, but we're limited by freezer space and how much kitchen space we have. So I think we'll take it one step at a time. I think what we're doing is a good concept. I love systems, and I think that we have good systems in place. Good systems lead to the ability to replicate if we want to. But I'm not sure where we're at with that right now.
Where does your personal satisfaction come from in being the doyenne of Bowl of Good?
Boy, lots of different aspects. And I think, and this might sound really trite, but I think it's just seeing it work. I mean, for me to be able to, at this point, be gone for a day or two, whatever reason, and I don't have to worry. And there's two reasons for that. There's one, because I have an incredible staff who care deeply about the food, the people, and what they're doing and how they do it. And I'm deeply grateful for such a good group of people. The second thing is we have good systems in place. So people know what's expected of them. And we work hard at, when they don't, giving them the freedom to say, I don't know what's expected, or this isn't working well, how do we fix it? So I think those two things, people having good, clear systems in place on how we do things so that we create a consistent experience and a consistent product, and then just great people who are willing to do that.
One of the things that always had me agog about you is the way you get home most afternoons by the time your kids get out of school.
Yeah.
Talk just a little bit about that. I've never known somebody who ran and owned a restaurant who could pull that off.
Yeah. Well, I think, I've often thought about that. Like, why would I do this when my children are young? Again, come back to the conversations I've had with you. Why am I doing this when my kids are young? And the only thing I can say is it has turned out to be a blessing, because had I did it when my children were grown or before I had kids, frankly, I would be working 60, 70 hours a week because I'm just that kind of person. I work, I'm a do-it-myself person. And having my kids, who I've always, I remember when my mom worked and I remember when my mom was home when I'd come home from school. And I loved having my mom home when I came home from school, even if I didn't even spend time with her that much. Just knowing mom was there meant a lot to me. And so that's something I wanted for my kids. I think because I wanted that and both my husband and I were committed to that, it really forced me to create systems that worked. Like, I have to be clear on what I want you to do when I'm not there, because I want people to have the same experience eating when I'm not there or when I am there.
Katrina Dedo was recently named Entrepreneur of the Year by the Harrisonburg-Rockingham Chamber of Commerce. You'll find a link to the Bowl of Good website and some pictures of Katrina and her crew on the Spark page at WMRA.org.